You're listening to the first episode in a mini-series on evangelism listening tours. In this first episode, you'll hear me, Lizzie Burke, talking with my friends Kirk Peterson and Josh Chen about where the idea for an evangelism report came from and the process we took from idea to execution to create the Portland Evangelism Report. In this episode, you'll hear what a listening tour is, the first steps you need to take if you're interested in researching in your own city, and what interview questions we ask pastors. You'll also get tips for a scaled-down process based on the team and time you have available. Just for a little bit of an introduction so you know what voices you're listening to, I'm the Associate Director of the City Gospel Movement's team at the Luis Palau Association, which means I essentially train church leaders how to work together to see their city flourish. And in this process, I analyzed the data for the Portland Evangelism Report, and I wrote the report. I'm also a member of the Share PDX team, a volunteer team of Portland area pastors and ministry leaders seeking to strengthen evangelism in our area. During this conversation, I'm joined by two friends who are interviewers during the research process. Kirk Peterson is the Share PDX team leader and the Northwest Senior Director for Alpha USA, which he joined in 2009. Alpha is a series of video and discussion sessions exploring the Christian faith. Before Alpha, Kirk served in student ministry for 17 years in Oregon churches. He's passionate about equipping churches and ministries to fulfill their mission of helping people become followers of Jesus. Josh Chen is a Share PDX team member and city director for Crew. He is passionate about helping young people experience the goodness of the gospel and encouraging Christians to reimagine what evangelism means for today. He leads a team in Portland, Oregon with his wife, Wendy. Kirk, Josh, and I are all from the Pacific Northwest and call the Portland area home. And we hope this conversation sparks ideas for a listening tour of your own. And even if you don't do a listening tour, you can read the Portland Evangelism Report and draw similarities to your own city. Okay, let's jump into the conversation. Well, Kirk Peterson and Josh Chen, it's so fun to be together again after spending a while doing this Portland Evangelism Report. I'm excited just to be able to sit down and break apart, like, how did we do this? What did the process look like? And hopefully this conversation for you listeners is helpful to inspire, you know, what a listening tour could look like in your city. So let's jump in. Let's talk about where the idea for the Portland Evangelism Report came from. I remember a conversation with Kevin Palau in September of 2019, which seems worlds away. But Kirk, you know, when you first heard this idea, like, what was that feeling? Where did the idea come from for this process?
I think the idea really came from saying we wanted to be helpful to the work of evangelism in our city. And what better way to know if we were than to ask the pastors of the churches here in our city about what they were seeing on the ground in their own churches and kind of from their perspective, where they led both geographically, kind of denominationally. And so that was kind of the heartbeat, was saying, if we want to serve the needs, if we want to see a movement of God in seeing people come to faith, then let's go back to the churches, go back to these church leaders and ask them what they are seeing and also what needs they're identifying, what are the hurdles that they're facing, so that we as a team could say, are there ways that we can address these in the years to come?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Josh, when you first heard the idea from Kevin, what was coming to mind? What stuck out in those beginning stages?
Yeah, when Kevin approached me, he talked about this idea that we had been serving the community collectively as the body of Christ for about 10 years in a pretty coordinated way. And his question was, are those service opportunities really leading to gospel conversations? And that's something that I had the question of too, personally. Like, I was like, well, of course they should, but are they really? And so that's the question that, like, I was really curious to find out, and one of the reasons why I jumped on board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, for listeners, just a little bit more context is, I think it was, 2018, 2017, correct me if I'm wrong, Kirk, but the Portland Evangelism team was formed, and Josh, Kirk, and I were a part of that with other pastors and evangelists and kind of like-minded people in the city who care about evangelism. And this Portland Evangelism Report, we didn't know it was going to be called that at the time. It was really like, hey, should we just interview like 50 pastors in the Portland area on their thoughts on evangelism? And this effort doing these interviews gave that Portland Evangelism team, which is now called Share PDX, a really specific, tangible project we could work on together. So why did you guys say yes to this project? You didn't know how long it was going to take. You didn't know there wasn't a template for this. We hadn't heard of other cities doing this. So why did you say yes to the process?
Yeah, for me, I think I've spent the last 10 plus years in my role with Alpha interacting with church leaders. So I was already feeling like this was something that's already a part of what I do on a regular basis, is both helping and supporting churches that are looking for ways to engage the community in evangelistic efforts. And so alignment was there for doing this already in what I was doing, and looking forward to hearing from them on kind of the front lines, what they were seeing as being effective, as well as what they really dreamed of for their congregations and for their church bodies to see this grow in the years to come.
Yeah, that's good. And Josh, what about you? Why did you say yes to this process?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm a pretty naturally curious person. So I wanted to find out what was happening in the city. And like I said, I think that question of how does service lead to gospel conversations is a really big one in my head. It's a conversation that's it's really big in my world, which is Crew. Like, what part does service or justice have to play in evangelism? And so I wanted to find out what was happening in the city of Portland. What are some best practices? Another thing is that kind of as a byproduct of the report is getting to meet a ton of pastors in the city. It was really beneficial for me, as I have places to go and learn from, but also build relationships with and partner together to see evangelism flourish in Portland.
Yeah, no, that's good. You know, I work for the Louise Plow Association. So when Kevin mentioned this, he's like, hey, Lizzie, can you help out with this? And so that's why I was kind of a part of it, and then didn't realize that I would be, you know, involved so much with the analysis of the data and kind of interacting with Josh and Kirk for, you know, months after that initial conversation. But that's kind of how I got involved. And so for listeners, you're probably hearing, you know, Josh mention he wanted to learn how community service was leading to gospel conversations. Kirk, you were mentioning, how can we, as this collaborative team who's focused on evangelism, best serve the pastors? So there were all these kind of ideas of what this could look like in the beginning. And let's talk about what were the first steps we took in the process. Kirk, you want to chime in about that?
I think a couple of the first steps were deciding who we wanted to interview. And so that kind of came, Kevin already had a relationship with a lot of key pastors in the city. And so we kind of started there to look at some of the influential churches within the city. But then we also branched out to say, we want to make sure that we're hitting a cross-section geographically in their city. You know, in Portland, there's kind of a divide east and west, sometimes seem like they're two different worlds within our city. So we wanted to make sure we were hearing from both sides of the city, as well as then looking and saying, let's find some church plants that have started in the last 5 or 6 years and listen to them. What are they hearing? What are they experiencing? Let's make sure that we're hearing from some churches that are led, you know, with different ethnicities within the city, so that we're not just hearing, you know, one particular brand of Christianity within the city. So getting some Catholic parishes involved, listening to their part of this as well, was all part of trying to say, how do we get a cross-section here that's going to be representative of within the city? So once we decided kind of who, then the next question was, what are we going to ask them? And so that was this process of kind of coming up with what became kind of our 10 questions that we, through the journey, we actually changed a little bit of that, but we had an idea of some of the questions that we wanted to ask. And so both who we wanted to ask and then what we wanted to ask them. And then it kind of became, how are we going to go about doing that? And that process kind of played out from there.
Yeah. You know, and maybe we can, you know, just share a few of the questions that we asked and even some of them that we changed. So one of the first questions that we thought we should ask is what that pastor's definition of evangelism is, right? Yeah. And then we realized, like, okay, we're getting like really trite answers, you know, and whether the pastor really believes that and lives that out, it's like, okay, we're getting the textbook answer. So we actually changed that first question to set the tone. And we asked them, hey, in like 2 minutes, can you just tell us how you came to faith? And We had to put a time limit on that because we knew that somebody's testimony could take, you know, the 40, 45 minutes of conversation that we wanted to have. But that actually really set the tone to help that pastor get in the zone thinking about, what does faith sharing look like? How have I personally experienced faith sharing? And that was really critical. What are some of the other questions that we asked? I know that we adapted some of them, but what were some of your favorite questions to ask, maybe?
I would say probably the one that generated a lot of the conversation was, what are you seeing work in evangelism in your church? And where are you seeing people come to faith? You know, that kind of idea of letting them just talk about what they had been seeing going on. And then kind of the counterpoint to that was, what are the obstacles or the hurdles that you're facing, the challenges you're facing as you lead your congregation in this way? And then being able to kind of see some themes between those conversations that begin to emerge. So those two questions for me were probably the most engaging. And I felt like where we ended up spending the bulk of our time with the pastors.
Josh, was there a question that you found particularly provocative or leading to a good conversation?
Yeah. Like I said, the question about, like, how does service lead into gospel conversations? I think initially, most pastors were like, well, yeah, of course, if service leads to gospel conversations. And then as we fleshed it out, and we're like, well, tell us a little bit about how that's happened. And I think as they reflected on that, they're like, oh, maybe it doesn't lead to it as much as I would have theoretically assumed. And so, that question drew out a lot. Another question that I thought was really helpful was the question about, you know, we asked about leadership and how they develop leaders. And then we asked a follow-up question with that of how do you equip your evangelists and how do you develop them? And, you know, for that question, I think just the contrast of the two kind of showed, oh, maybe we're not putting as much focus on developing people to share their faith as we could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. For listeners, you can find the interview questions that we started with online. We'll link to all of that. It's citygospelmovements.org/team, TEAM. And we recommend you can start with this list of questions that we used, but we also encourage you, if a question doesn't resonate in your city, please revise it. This process we did in our city or our, you know, metro area, but we want to learn from other cities too. So we also decided that we wanted to do in-person interviews. We kind of set a goal of 50 interviews, and you decided to do some of these first interviews in person and do them together. Can you describe, Josh, maybe like why that was important to do the first interviews together and what you gained from starting that way?
Yeah, I think Kirk and I, as well as Kevin, went on a few together. And that was really helpful initially just to get on the same page of like, what are we listening for? How are we asking these questions? What does the flow of the interview look like? You know, for example, Kirk was really good about keeping us to the, you know, the hour, whereas like I wanted to go on all sorts of rabbit trails. And so like, that was the one thing that I learned. I'm like, man, if I go on all these rabbit trails, we're not going to get through all the questions. And so I learned something from him in doing it with him. And so, And as we kind of process, what did we hear together? We were also able to say, oh, we're hearing similar things, but we're also hearing some things that are a little bit different from each other. I mean, we're not hearing different things, but our focus on the information that we were hearing was a little bit different. And so that was helpful to even recognize up front.
Yeah. Kirk, what did you kind of learn from these initial first interviews? And then can you talk about, once you kind of did that first group of interviews together, how did you divide and conquer?
Yeah, I think those first interviews, doing them together was really important because I think otherwise you can end up approaching those questions and the nuances, the follow-up questions to those questions that you may have lined out on your document there a little bit differently. And then you get back together and you realize that you're really asking different questions, or you're kind of taking the interview in different directions. So I felt like a couple things that we learned, having just a couple of us that were doing the majority of these interviews, was actually helpful. And I know you, Lizzie, listened. We recorded most of all of them, and you listened to most all of them as well. So kind of, we had three of us that were hearing the majority of all of these. Whereas if we'd had a larger team, and some cities may decide to do that, one of the challenges there is just Are you getting enough bulk of being able to hear from a variety of pastors in a few people that are able to then kind of process the differences as well as the similarities in what you're hearing from that? So I felt like that actually worked to our advantage when it came to analyzing the data later. Now, it did maybe lengthen the process because we only had so much availability in our schedules to kind of put these times and stuff together. But I felt like that was actually a benefit down the road when it came to kind of analyzing what we were hearing together from these interviews.
Yeah. And I think another thing that I learned, you know, I didn't necessarily attend these interviews in person, but like Kirk mentioned, I listened to almost all the 50 interviews. And what I learned from Kirk and Josh is they tried to treat the pastor as the expert in evangelism, whether that pastor was the expert or not. And I think that tone, that posture of like, we're here to listen and to honor the effort you're putting forth in evangelism, set the tone for the pastors to be really honest. And it bubbled up. The pastors were confessing their own, like, oh yeah, we're not very good at this, or we could celebrate better, or we could put more effort toward this. But they didn't feel either of you kind of putting them on their heels saying, why aren't you doing this? Or you should do better. So I think that was a key learning that in a tone you really set. Okay. So, you know, we met, did the interview, wrote the interview questions, drafted the list of pastors that, you know, we wanted to have interviewed first. And then one thing that we did is we kind of met on a monthly basis or after every, you know, 6 to 10 interviews to kind of process through themes of, you know, what you all were finding. And so, can you briefly touch on like even how you took notes so that when we gathered every, you know, 6 to 8 interviews, you were able to share based on memory, based on those notes. So let's talk a little bit about how we regrouped every month or so. Josh, you want to start and share?
Yeah. So I'll say this. I got a little bit lazy about halfway through, but for the first half of the interviews, I kind of recorded a little video right after the interview that just, you know, of things that stuck out to me. One of the things that we looked for were positive deviations. And so like I would share a positive deviation, maybe just like a 1 to 2 minute video just to keep my mind fresh. And that was actually really helpful when we would meet up monthly and I could just, you know, I could share, oh, like these are the things that stuck out in each of the interviews. And so that's one thing that I would maybe encourage is, you know, we scripted the whole, you know, took notes on the whole interview, but just to even make a video or, you know, something at the end that just said, hey, here are the highlights of what I heard that really stuck out. But yeah, when we would meet up once a month, that was really helpful again to refresh, all the conversations that we had, to compare notes and just to see like, oh, what could I improve in my interviewing as we talked about it. Mm-hmm.
I want to just spill out that little idea that positive deviation was a term we kind of coined not even halfway through, but what we found was we were hearing sometimes a story or an idea that a pastor shared that they were doing in the area of evangelism or, you know, in response to one of our questions that was not a theme. It wasn't something we heard multiple times going on, but it was a really creative, innovative idea that we felt like had some value for others if they were to hear that same thing. And so we kind of noted that and these became, as we said, we termed them positive deviations because they were kind of a spark of an idea that we felt like might be beneficial. So the other thing that I did and tried to do throughout is I took notes as I just typed in my computer as the pastor was sharing their responses. So it gave me a place to kind of highlight some of what I was hearing as I went through that. And then I would try to, at the end of the interview, just look through my notes, a page or two of notes, and highlight on there certain things that were either repeated themes that this pastor particularly said, maybe it was an idea that he said, maybe it was a resource that they were turning to or using that I thought, oh, that's a good resource that we should maybe note for others to have. And so those kind of notes, like Josh did the little his little summary statement, for me, were really helpful then when we came together every month and a half to kind of remember what was sparked in those conversations. And I feel like that process of not waiting to the end to do analysis was really helpful. I really recommend that, especially if you're trying to do, you know, 25, 30, 50 interviews. It's just going to be such a swamp at that point of trying to remember what you'd taken away, that having places along the way that we can kind of update the last 10 to 12 interviews that we had done and highlight some of the things that came out of that, but also then tie them back to earlier conversations. And Lizzie, you were, did a great job of kind of reminding us, like, here's some of the themes that now we've said we've been seeing, or some of the ideas that we've gathered. And so I think that role of having someone like you that kind of compiled those lists of kind of innovative ideas, as well as kind of thematic things that were coming up, was really helpful to the whole process.
Yeah, no, those details are, I think, really important, Kirk, because Josh and Kirk, you both kind of acted as the interviewers, and Kevin was able to participate on just a few. And then I was more the analyst, and you both were able to capture some key themes or ideas in the interviews. But as I listened to the interview, I was able to transcribe key quotes or specific ideas that maybe you didn't necessarily write out verbatim in the conversation, but I was able to bring that back to that monthly meeting and say, hey, let's talk about this. What do you think the pastor was saying here? Why is this significant? Are we hearing this another way? So you both took notes on specific interviews. I took notes on those monthly kind of team calls or meetups where we were saying, okay, what themes are we seeing? And then kind of bringing those two pieces together, the nitty gritty one-on-one interview with the compilation of the themes we were seeing, I think really did help. We will talk about the analyzing process that we went through in much more detail in an interview that I'll do with Kirk. So that'll be a second episode. But any other thoughts on how we analyze the data or things that you would recommend for other cities when it comes to analyzing data or taking notes or asking interview questions well?
I think as much as you can be familiar with what the other person is doing is really helpful. So to the degree that I was able to kind of look over Josh's notes from the interviews that he had done, even, though they weren't certainly as fresh or as kind of front of mind as they were for him, it helped me to kind of see some of the things that he was hearing in the pastors that he had interviewed and vice versa as well. So I think it is kind of a team approach, though you might divide and conquer in terms of some of the actual tasks and getting out there and doing some of the interviews. As much as you can try to stay collectively together in what each of you are hearing and how you're going about that, I think that is that's a real benefit to then being able to kind of pull these things together when you do start to analyze the interviews and what you're hearing.
Yeah, no, definitely. Josh, do you have ideas you want to share, chime in about the things that Kirk just mentioned?
Yeah, we kind of did things, I would say, a little bit backwards, in that we gathered all this data and then we're like, okay, what do we do with this data now? And so we started sifting through it and we try to pull out themes, try to pull out positive deviations. But I got to admit, it was pretty challenging with all the raw data that we had to compile it into something that was really useful. And so Kirk actually ended up taking us through a process. I'm sure you guys will talk about it in the next episode, but a process that was able to pull out some really rich themes and positive deviations in a way that we weren't able to get to on first pass. And that kind of resulted in this report. I would say that had we known about this process in the beginning, we probably could have shaped our questions and listened more intently for specific things. Yeah, I'm not a data analyst, but like,
none of us are, Josh. Full transparency, none of us are trained in qualitative research.
Yeah. Lizzie, you're probably the furthest along in having conversations, right, with people that help guide kind of the data analysis process. But yeah, I think the advice that I would probably give to our listeners is, if you're able to think through, okay, how are we going to analyze the data before developing some of the questions and going out and doing the interviews, that might guide you. I think we lucked out in that we really were able to develop some rich themes and ideas out of it. But I really think it was a God thing. I think Kirk coming in at the like end and bringing it all together and Lizzie taking all that data and creating this report was I mean, I'm shocked that we were able to put this thing together. So
good and job, we guys. Don't want listeners to feel like, okay, wait, a miracle has to happen in order for us to do this. But it was like, we also don't want listeners to think that this was a clean cut process, that we knew exactly how it was going to end. And I think what's a better analogy is we just kind of kept chewing the cud, you know, we're like, yeah, this isn't quite finished yet. And during those monthly meetings, we wouldn't just assess what content or ideas you're hearing in the interviews. We would say, are we interviewing enough of a cross section? What other voices are we not hearing? And then I would come, you know, towards probably halfway through or toward the end with these summary docs that were just, you know, 3 to 4 page, just Word documents that would say, this is the summary of what we're hearing through these 30 interviews, 40 interviews. And I think once we saw kind of what those summary documents said, it was like, yeah, that's what we're hearing, but it's not really like captivating. It's not doing justice to how profound we feel like these interviews really are. And that's where, Kirk, your ability to say, let's go through another in-depth process of analysis, which again, we'll go through in the second episode, really led to, I think, a much more compelling report. So let's talk about the final report. Kirk, you know, can you talk about the report and what you feel like the use is going to be and what you hope it leads to?
Yeah, I think the report is, and as we wrote it, we wanted it to be useful to a pastor. First of all, these 50 pastors that gave us an hour of their time, I felt like I owed them something back to say, here's what we heard from you. Here's what we heard from your peers. And here's some ideas that were sparked in our minds that might also be helpful for you and some of your other leadership in the church there. And so that was really one of the pieces, was we wanted it to feel practical. And we also wanted it to challenge maybe their thinking, you know, maybe they had strength in a particular area of evangelism, but maybe we're a little weaker in some of the other areas. And so we wanted what we had heard to be able to not only spark a thought, but also I think we put some reflective questions in each of those findings that we had, so that there was kind of some tracks to run on. And in a sense, it could be something that they were looking at and pondering those, or they could take those same questions to some of their leadership in the church and start to run those through and say, okay, what do we do with this? You know, or how could we do this aspect of sharing our faith and helping our people share their faith better. And so I think that was kind of what in my mind drove a lot of that. You know, when we initially had set out to do this, we said as an evangelism team, again, this pool of both pastors and kind of ministry leaders in the city that have a heart for the gospel, we wanted to be equipping and doing the work that was really necessary in the church. And I think the report has helped to shape what we're going to do over the next 3 or 4 years in terms of equipping, in terms of trying to say, how do we build these things out into the leadership of the church? How do we build these things out into the lay people within the church? And so that our city in 3 or 4 years looks different because of our collective effort together. And again, something bigger than what any one church or ministry could do, but doing and working on all of this together, I guess the report helps to serve that team as well in terms of just knowing what might be useful in the season ahead.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of like a map and a compass for the years ahead. And I agree, it is that gift to the pastors to say, this is what we heard. And for those who are listening who want to read the Portland Evangelism Report, you again can access that on citygospelmovements.org/team. And the report outlines the 9 key findings, which include key pastor quotes, a description of that finding, and then, like Kirk mentioned, really practical reflection questions for each of those findings. Let's talk about, if we were to encourage another city who wants to do this process, this listening tour in their city, what would you say? What are things that you would say to even shorten the process? Because in full transparency, with COVID hitting and us having to switch to Zoom calls, with your other ministry responsibilities, it took about 18 months from the inception of the idea to the report is printed. But this process would still be helpful if you want to do a shortened process and less interviews. So maybe, Josh, can you start off and say, if you were to coach another city somebody who wants to do this process, what would you say?
Yeah. I mean, I think 18 months sounds like a really long time, but I think for us, the report and the process, like I would say the process was just as important as the final report. Mm-hmm. And maybe even more so, like one of our goals is to keep evangelism on the forefront of churches, pastors' minds. And so even having these, you know, like asking these questions, I remember a whole bunch of different pastors saying, you know, at the end of our interview, man, that was really helpful. I was kind of going into this conversation kind of dreading, feeling guilty about how our church is doing, but like, this is really helpful in kind of sparking some ideas in my head. And so I would say, take your time. Like you don't have to try to finish it in, you know, a couple months. Enjoy the process. I think, yeah, there's a lot of relationship that can be built and ideas that can be sparked in just actually going through the interviews and interviewing, you know, a number of pastors. So that's the first thing I would say. I would say the second thing is the diversity of churches was really helpful for us. You know, whether they're, you know, theologically diverse, ethnically diverse, geographically diverse, we found that different churches were saying different things. And what we found is that we have a lot to learn from one another within the body of Christ. And so I would encourage a diversity of churches.
I would say, and just affirm what Josh kind of mentioned, that one of our surprises that I don't think we necessarily realized going into this process was how just doing these interviews was actually moving the dial forward in evangelism in our city. Like just having that conversation with these pastors. And again, our posture was not, we're not coming in as the experts. We're not coming in telling you how to do this, but really wanting to learn and hear from you. What are you doing? What are you seeing? What do you wish you were seeing? And in that process, that just that conversation, I think, did what we are trying to do collectively, and that is raise the bar for the gospel and sharing the gospel in our city. And so that was a surprise to us. And I think that's one of the side benefits of this process, even if it's a shortened process. So if you ask practically, what would I do to shorten the process? You don't have to interview 50 churches. That for us seemed like a good sample size for the Portland metro area. So if you're coming from a smaller community, but you kind of want to get a feel of the pulse, you kind of just ask the question, how many churches do we probably need to talk to get a good cross section of the body of Christ here? And so that's obviously one thing you could do in shortening the process. And then again, just with our schedules and such, things got pushed out. And so I kind of found myself with windows of time about every 2 months. I'd have a flurry of 4, 5, 6 interviews in a week or two, and then it would kind of sit for a month, month and a half. And then I'd kind of get, you know, another time ban in my schedule. So again, if you're working as we did, this was kind of a side project for both Josh and I. We have our full jobs that we're kind of devoted to and working on. And again, it found alignment. I think that's one of the other things is look for people that this is already a part of kind of what they do. They're already networking and connecting with pastors in the city. And so as we went about that, yeah, that was kind of the starts and stops of it in the process of that. And I think Lizzie was a great encourager, actually having someone almost outside of the interviewing process to kind of keep asking, hey, when can we get together next? And can we get 10 interviews done by this point? And I think that encouragement and gentle nudging was really helpful to the process.
Yeah. You know, and I did just also briefly mention that when we first started, we did all in-person interviews. So that included drive time, and it was really meaningful. And sometimes we prioritized meeting with the lead pastors, but they could bring their, you know, ministry teams along. But when COVID hit, it was, you know, a necessity to switch to Zoom. And I think what was powerful is Kirk and Josh felt like the conversations could be just as meaningful, even if they were virtual. So doing virtual interviews definitely would cut time. There may not be that same relational connection for the long run, but if you're wanting to do, say, 30 interviews, do them all virtually and have 3 people interviewing versus 2 people interviewing, that's totally doable. And I would also just mention, While Kirk and Josh were the interviewers, I kind of analyzed, Kevin Pillau kind of acted as that networker who was able to open doors and say, hey, I know the pastor personally, I can text them. So while Josh and Kirk might have emailed the pastor and not have gotten a response just because they aren't known by the pastor, Kevin could, you know, CC them and then people would reply much faster. So having somebody like that with favor in the city, I think is also a really great asset. I wasn't planning on asking you both this question, but I'd love as we wrap up, you know, we did this in the Portland metro area, but why would you want other cities to participate? Like, what would you want to learn from them? What would you want to see as other cities are curious about participating?
Yeah, I think so much of evangelism is contextualized to specific cities, specific people. And so I think as we think about Portland, there are some things that are very specific to Portland, you know, it being a progressive city, having a history of churches coming together and serving the city, some of these things that were very specific. But I think as other cities do this process, I think part of what these reports could do is spotlight what is unique about this city. What are some unique things that this city is wrestling with? Some unique things that God's doing, and just kind of shine a spotlight so that we can learn from and kind of, you know, get excited together about what God's doing in each city.
Yeah. I would just say that I feel like that posture of listening really does give you this unique window of kind of listening to the Spirit of God as you're talking to these various church leaders. What is the Spirit of God doing in our community? And what is he surfacing in this particular season? Because again, I think seasons come and go, but that's what you're going to find out about your community. And the other piece I would just say is evangelism in that spirit and that passion for seeing the gospel go forward is more caught than taught. And so, you know, I feel like this process, you know, we have had and we'll have gatherings with pastors together where we may bring in someone to share on a particular area of evangelism. And we're hoping to, again, help raise the bar, encourage pastors to keep evangelism at the forefront of what they do in their ministries. But I feel like the posture of conversation that we took and the time that we invested in each pastor individually really allowed us to hear the heartbeat of that pastor and to encourage and affirm that in that space. And so I feel like that was another thing that, you know, Josh and I didn't necessarily go into this saying, oh, we really want the pastors to feel encouraged out of this process, just from our time together from that one-on-one. But I think that was a side benefit that really did happen and hopefully move them forward in just their own thinking about how, you know, most pastors get into ministry because they want to see people come to faith. They want to see people who don't know Jesus introduced to Jesus. And so it kind of helped bring that back for, I think, a lot of pastors just in the conversation that we had.
Kirk and Josh, thank you so much. It was a joy doing this process with you. And for you listeners, thank you for listening. And I hope this inspired ideas for what's possible in your city. Bare minimum, you can read the Portland Evangelism Report. But if you decide to do this process, please let us know. We'd love to learn alongside you and support you in any way that we can. Thanks so much. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want to read the full Portland Evangelism Report and access other evangelism resources for your city, go to citygospelmovements.org/team.